Sports Day for Kia's open season, continuing with match-winning deals. And Red Energy, a 100% Australian gas and electricity retailer.
7 minutes past six. Hello and welcome along to Sports Day. Coming up, Matthew Lloyd, as always, Paul Marsh, the CEO of the AFL Players Association, and Scoot McClure with the lowdown on what's happening in the AFL behind the scenes. But it is day eight of the lockdown, and with every passing day, the restrictions on our accepted liberties continue to increase for the greater good. So what an opportunity to improve something in your sporting repertoire while locked in at home. I've started stretching. For 40 years, I've promised myself to get more flexible. And for 40 years, I have slowly gone the other way, completely stiffened up. For 20 times now, I've started concerted campaigns to get more flexible. And 20 times, I have failed miserably. So in lockdown time in 2020, I'm on my 21st campaign. The official starting point, 19 centimetres, fingertips from the ground. I know it's big news, but this is what we're going with. I used to be able to touch my toes when playing, but I was never, ever what you would call flexible. That's my challenge, along with painting the fence, losing some kilos, reading more books, and going for long night walks. So what's yours? What element of your sporting repertoire have you decided to focus on? What element do you want to get better by the time that football comes back? And what's your suggestion for others to consider? The Harcourt's open line is open, 13 13 32. Maybe you'd like your favourite footballer to improve his left-hand handball or his non-preferred side kicking. Maybe you'd like your small forward to actually kick a drop punt when inside the forward 50 instead of actually running around the sideline trying to bend it like Beckham. Give us a thought. Your calls, 13 13 32. Coming up, Matthew Lloyd, but first, here's Scoop. Welcome to you, Scoop.
Hello, Jared. Good evening to you. 19 centimetres between fingertips and ground. That's what you would call on the couch an RFI. There's lots of room for improvement.
Absolutely
there.
It's
funny you should mention that, though, is being trapped indoors for much of the weekend, I thought, what can I do?
Yep.
So I pumped the footy up and started working on the left-handed
handball. Too late
handball.
For that.
And I also got the putter out. And I've been leaving a lot of putts short recently in golf. It's funny how...
Decelerating?
It's impossible how to leave putts short when you're putting on tiles. It's physically impossible to do so. So that's my improvement. But what you're asking is, what can you do to improve an element of your sporting life? 13, 13, 32. I like it. The calls will come as they do that, Jared. Significant day in footy today. It sounds like we've said that every day for the last 2 weeks. Gillon McLachlan has now officially announced that they have secured a loan with two major banks, NAB, who of course are one of their major sponsors, and also one of the other big four, the ANZ. The loan is thought to be somewhere between $500 and $600 million. And further to that, Jared, I can tell you that the 18 club CEOs have set up three working groups to essentially help save the game. So these guys usually protect everything they've got.
Yep.
They don't want to let in any clubs on their secrets. This is now the opposite. They're giving each other all their ideas, all their intellectual property, and they've set it up into three groups: finance, membership, and also state leagues. And the 18 CEOs have been split across to help head those three areas up. But it's a collegiate approach to not only help saving the game as it is, Jared, but to help save each and every one of the 18 clubs.
Well, that sounds like it's fantastic stuff, Scoop, because there's going to have to be more brains than just one man to solve the problems that the game has got. And no doubt they'll be coming up with how they're going to deal with membership, because that is still the biggest money in the bank scenario that they've got. There'll be plenty of people want their cash back, plenty of people happy to be a donation. How they deal with that, we will ask Greg Swan when he joins us for the second time. This is Sports Day for Kia. It's open season at Kia with match-winning deals and Australia's best seven-year warranty across the range. Your calls, 13 13 32 on the Harcourt's open line. If you want to talk real estate, give them a call. If you've got a suggestion on how you're going to improve your own sporting life, now is the time. But before we take your calls, let's join Matthew Lloyd, who, as always, is with us on a Monday night for Macca's new 100% Aussie grass-fed beef burger. It's naturally delicious. And Matthew Lloyd, to quote Bruce McAvaney on many occasions, was delicious as well. Welcome to you, Lloydie.
Yeah, thanks, Jared. Thanks, Sam. I thought Sam would have gone for... I think Sam's skills are pretty good. I thought he would have gone more his ground balls and keeping his head over the footy a little bit more.
Wow.
Would have been more your go, Scoop.
In fairness to you, that's 100% right. Terrified was a word that often associated with me.
What's your gut feel, Lordy, on what you're improving? I mean, you are you're pretty handy at most things involving a ball. What are you working on?
Jared, I actually went out about maybe 3 weeks ago and purchased a table tennis table.
Oh, yeah.
And in preparation for this, and for me and the kids, and also from Amazon, a tennis net. I've got an area about 20 metres long by 10 metres wide.
Mm-hmm.
And what's strange is I've got no backhand in tennis, but I'm all backhand in table tennis.
Right.
So I'm working on my forehand in the table tennis and my backhand in the tennis. So anyway... Don't know sure what's going on there, Jared, whether that's normal or not. But as I said, forehand in table tennis, backhand in tennis is what I'm currently working on.
Well, my brother went out in anticipation of a very long, long autumn and winter and bought himself. He reckons it was the last trampoline in Melbourne. And fortunately, his young bloke, Harry, he's working on all sorts of skills. Quite a destructive unit is Harry, but he's working on things in the cage. Including his football skills as well. So there'll be plenty of people out there with creative ideas on how to improve your skills at your part of your sporting life.
Jared, as the tennis coach amongst us, Jared, why would Lloydie's backhand be non-existent in the longer stuff and his go-to in the table tennis?
I've got no idea. I've got no backhand at tennis as well. I'm probably the same as you, Lloydie. You've raised a couple of really interesting questions here on your list. What constitutes a season? To me, 12 games is about enough to get it going. What about yourself?
No, I'm longer than that, Jared. So I'm thinking, I want 17, but I think minimum for me is 15. So I just don't want to know about the asterisk premiership and all that sort of thing. So I've even got to a point where I feel like if it gets too late in the year, and instead of trying to cram a lot of games in, can we span the season so it goes from a late 2020 into a 2021, 34 games, bit of a break, buys, those sorts of things, because I just don't think it becomes a bit gimmicky, and 12 games for mine just doesn't constitute a premier in this season. So, I just feel that's the decision the AFL will keep having to think about as the months roll by with no footy, about whether it's worth trying to get this season done in 2020.
Jared,
so,
your take
I'm
on
not
that?
Sure you're,
no,
you're
I think,
with me in
I think
what
we've
I'm
got
to
have about, a season.
So, yes.
I think there'll always be an asterisk on this year for everybody. So I haven't got a great concern about that.
How
somebody
would you feel, though?
Yeah.
How would you feel about if we got part of, say, we played 34 rounds, which included a bit of a break over Christmas for the players, and we actually played 2020, 2021, rather than 12 games and suddenly it's a final series for 2020?
No, I wouldn't like to bastardise two seasons, Lloydie. I'd like to have one season that is compromised, and, okay, we understand it's compromised, and then start fully again in 2021 with a complete season. I think the broadcasters would prefer that, and it doesn't matter what people think. That's a really important decision right now that they're accommodated. And I haven't got a problem with the 12-game season. I understand there'd be an asterisk, but as someone who didn't win a premiership, I think you'd be pretty happy to win any sort of premiership, even if it did have an asterisk.
Yeah. Sam, what do you think? I know it changes all the time, but when does it get too late, you think, for the AFL?
Yeah, I think it's a question that a lot of people are asking today, Lloydie, not only to clubs but also to the AFL. My take is that if we don't have any games by sometime in August, we'll be in trouble, because then it only leaves September, October, November, and then we probably can't play all of December. We'll say half of December, so that's 14 weeks. Got to play 17 games. I think it starts to get a little tight there. Lloydie, you've been big on, reducing the size of coaches' boxes, and we might actually, be benefited for that. What about list sizes? If, say, 45 is the number now, what do you think a good list size for next year onwards would be?
I've found it fascinating, Sam. And as I said, I don't feel comfortable when I say this. It's just purely around, I don't enjoy seeing anybody lose their positions because it's been happening in all walks of life. But it's just that, $3 million, the soft cap, which is all your off-field staff and spend, has gone from 9.7 to 6.7 million. And I'm just wondering what comes for the players. So the players, it's currently 13 million. Will they have to, come down to 10? Or 11. So suddenly, if it came down to 10, there's nine players at an average of $300,000 a club that you're suddenly losing. So I'm just wondering if list sizes, or you can do whatever you want to do with that money. You can pay still your Dustin Martins $1.2 million, and you can play a lot of blokes down the bottom end $100,000. They're not going to get that anywhere else. So I just think that. And that's where we come to where the draft is at. What do we do with the draft? I spoke to someone from a club a couple of days ago who believes we should only have a first and second round of the draft this year. You just have two picks instead of having to delist three players and have three draft selections. So I was thinking, would we get to a list of 30, 36, 37 instead of 44 like we currently have?
It's interesting the mathematics of how much you would save if you cut 10 players from the list, because the average at 360 is really an average only, because some are getting 1.2, and the reason it's at 360 is that others are getting 100,000 bucks or even less. So if you started chopping from the bottom, I reckon if you averaged 100,000, maybe 150 max, from the worst paid player in your club to maybe the 30th paid player, you wouldn't be saving, you'd be saving over a million, but I'm not sure you'd be saving $2 million bucks.
Yeah, talking to Ross Lyon, and everyone's got different theories on footy, but that's, I think, where, if he was running his list and we're talking about this and you're open to do what you wanted, he's massive on his top end players. And some may say, well, your depth could have hurt you in a grand final, Ross, but he's extremely close many a time. So it's about cutting at the bottom end. If a player didn't want to play for $100,000, we'll go and find someone else who'll do it out of a VFL, and you get sort of, you don't get anything too dissimilar. Whereas, you're not going to find a Nathan Fyfe or a Dustin Martin anywhere else. So they should get what they deserve. So going to be interesting to see what comes of that with the cap moving forward, and whether the standard of the games would actually improve also if maybe six or seven were cut off lists, unfortunately. But the 35 you've got to choose from are all ready to go and to play AFL footy, aside from those new draftees.
Harcourt's open line is open, 13 13 32. Plenty of people on the line. We'll go to Shepparton first, Michael.
Oh, g'day, Gerald. Just calling about this current season.
Yep.
I just think every team should play once, just for the supporters' sake. And I think whoever finishes on top of the ladder, that's it. It's like the Premier League.
Well, I can understand where you're coming to, Michael, from that. But right now, I think the competition, the AFL Commission, are really keen to try and get value for the broadcasters to make sure that the money continues to flow or restarts to flow. And as much as the home and away are big ticket items, they shrink by comparison to the finals, in particular the grand finals. And that's why there's been such a push on for the AFL to consider a best of three grand final. I don't think that will happen in the end. I think you'll end up with more finals, but there's no doubt that if you just had the Premier League scenario top of the table, you're going to get all sorts of problems with broadcasters, whether it's played in September or in December.
Yeah, that's right. And, we talk about over the last couple of weeks, games and what they're worth, Jared, and we came up with the figure of about $2.1 million per game. But the reality is different games are worth different amounts of money, and the finals are worth an extraordinarily higher percentage of the broadcast money than a regular home and away game, which you can understand. Rod is in Gordon. G'day, Rod.
G'day, mate. How are you?
We're good.
Why can't we have the interstate sides play each other twice? Like the Eagles and Frio 1 week, then Brisbane and Gold Coast the next week, and Sydney and the Swans the week after. and then go around again.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, Rod. I think it's something that Hutchie brought up, Jared, on the and Lloydie on the sounding board, saying that you should basically just split the teams up into four groups of or three groups of six, and we could have three derbies, we could have three showdowns, we could have Collingwood play Carlton three times or three Anzac days. I mean, it kind of makes sense just to get games away if we needed to get to that point.
Well, there's going
to
be... Go on, Lloydie.
Sorry, Jared. I was just thinking that the problem with that from my end is we're all got pretty excited out of a bad situation that we could actually get the even season we wanted with 17 games.
Yep.
And the last thing we want is Brisbane playing the Gold Coast Suns twice in quick succession. And suddenly you're copping, say, if Port Adelaide are a top four side this year, Adelaide are copping Port Adelaide a few times in a row. So I think, you know, out of this, we just want something as fair as possible, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't particularly like the idea of playing two derbies in a row, etc. I haven't got a problem with playing two games in a week. They may get shortened again. I think we're going to have to be creative. But I think if we got to a point where everybody played 12 games, that would do me. But I think without doubt, the obvious best-case scenario is if everybody plays each other once and we have extra finals and we move on from there. Coronavirus permitting. We're going to take a break. Sports Day is powered by a 100% Australian and electricity gas retailer. It's Red Energy. Switch today. But don't switch from here. We're coming back with your calls. David in Geelong, Andrew's in Spotswood, and we're going to be going straight to your calls with Matthew Lloyd on the other side of the break.
And one thing I'd say is that in the time I've been doing this job, the AFLPA, like we've always been able to find a way through it with the AFL. Dylan and I have always been able to work through difficult problems, and I had complete confidence that we'd do that here, and we did. So, you know, I think it was, there was a fair bit of hysteria around what was going on here, probably because there wasn't much else to talk about.
Welcome back to Sports Day. It's all for Kia, Australia's best seven-year factory warranty. That was the voice of AFL Players Association Chief Executive Paul Marsh on SEN across the weekend, saying there wasn't that much else to talk about. He joins us now after a historic pay deal has finally concluded. Paul, welcome to Sports Day.
G'day, Sam. Jared, how are you?
We're going pretty well. You're relieved that you got the deal done finally, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, it was 5 days we worked through that last week, and you know, I think it was a complex set of circumstances we were working through, and we did that. We worked long hours to get there, and yeah, so I'm happy with where we landed.
Paul, you said in your grab, one of the many things you said over the weekend, that you thought there was hysteria because there wasn't much else to talk about. I would say that given everything happening, given that 80% of the industry had to take pay cuts, you've got a couple of clubs really fighting for survival, that there was actually probably more to talk about than ever before. Do you stand by those comments? Because it felt like you were sort of deflecting some of the hysteria towards the media creating it.
I just thought that, you know, even Jared's question there around, you know, getting it done finally, I mean, Sunday last week we were still playing football, and then by Friday we'd worked out the future of everyone's pay for the players during the year, and I think that was the hysterical bit for me, is that, you know, it took 5 days to work through it, and it's complex. You know, we worked through it hard, as I said earlier, but I couldn't quite get my head around why anyone thought that wasn't a reasonable time frame to be working through such a complex set of issues. And, you know, we weren't talking about football last week. We were just talking about this this issue. I think we worked through it, I thought, very constructively with the AFL all week last week. It wasn't easy, but we got to a point that both parties thought was fair and reasonable. So that's really where that was coming from.
I think, though, in hindsight, Paul, that the media and the general public were taking a line through the comments of the likes of Jeff Kennett, Peter Gordon, etc., just about how parlous the finances of the game were. And 70-80% of people were being sacked at football clubs. So that sort of gave a truth to just how desperately the finances of the game and the future of the game were. And yet it seemed that the players were at a lockstep. I know you've spoken to Lee Matthews. His view was you should have fallen into line. And there just seemed to be something missing that the public didn't quite grab or quite understand. And I think I may have found out what that was, and that's this lack of a callback agreement in the agreement that you struck with the AFL some years ago. And that must have been a significant barrier to Kennett getting the deal he wanted and maybe the AFL getting the deal they wanted?
Yeah, look, there was lots to work through. And I think, you know, from our perspective, yeah, I think you call up a point there that when we did the deal in 2017, the players got 28% of the game's forecast revenues. Our whole positioning was they should also get 28% of the game's actual revenues. And we didn't get there on the club piece. But I guess what came back the other way was the players didn't have to go backwards if revenues didn't hit forecast. Now, we've obviously, because of these exceptional circumstances at the moment, we've agreed for the players to go backwards, but that didn't really come up too much last week. It was more about how are we going to work through this for players on minimum contracts, you know, guys with families. These are all the complex issues that we were just trying to work through. And, you know, I think players that did have payments up until the end of March, we had some time to work through this. And I think 5 days, as I've said a couple of times, is very reasonable to try to work through what is a really complex set of circumstances. So I know everyone wanted it to get done quicker. If we could have got it done quicker, we would have. But in the end, I don't think it was unreasonable how long it took.
No, given that you had the whip hand in the negotiations, and it's clear that you had a really strong hand, a much stronger hand than I think the general public and us as broadcasters were led to believe. I can see why it took so long now. But back 3 or 4 days ago, I think everyone was of the view, and I think we're entitled to have that view, that the players rose with the game and went down with the game. And that was the, you know, that was the messaging when the deal was trying to be done. Many, many times I heard players say, we're going to accept the upside and we're going to accept the downside. And yet no one knew about this lack of a callback position, which from my understanding, I read Tom Morris's expose on it, is something they do in American sport all the time. And it's shielded the players to a point where they've actually, I think, made a much grander sacrifice than the public are actually willing to understand at the moment.
Yeah, look, mate, I don't think it would have served anyone's purpose for us to stand on that clause last week, just given the gravity of the situation. So, you know, I think we're all reasonable people that are working for the Players Association. We just tried to work through this in what we thought was fair. And, you know, I do, and we all do genuinely believe in this concept of if the money's not there, then, you know, we've got to adapt to what the players are going to get paid. And the players absolutely buy into that. Mm-hmm. So, yes, that was the agreement. I didn't think there was any value in putting that out there publicly because I don't think it would have helped the situation. But we worked through it. And as I said, we worked through it constructively with the AFL.
Paul, at any stage, did the AFL want the players to take a 79% pay cut for the next 7 months?
Well, that was the proposal and that was put to us initially, and that was at the start of last week. But, you know, it was fluid, Sam. I mean, we were working through this and we were working through, you know, Gil said it on the weekend and I'll say it again. We worked through lots of different models and this was really just trying to find a solution to this extraordinary issue. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about what was going on, but what was actually going on was that the two of us were talking many times a day and we keep throwing different ideas at each other and in the end we got to what we think is a fair outcome.
Yep. Can I just ask you for some more clarification? Would it be accurate to say that the Players Association wasn't briefed on the AFL changing the season to 17 games?
Well, you know, Gil and I had spoken a lot about different options in the lead up to that, and I certainly was, and I've said this a couple of times publicly, I was certainly aware that that was in their thinking. What we weren't aware of is that decision had been made and that was announced literally as we were walking into a meeting of all the players. And that, you know, that the shock of exactly what was going on, let's go back 2 weeks ago and, you know, no one saw this coming. Walking into a meeting Monday, nearly 2 weeks ago today, where, you know, the world's falling apart, the AFL industry's falling apart, 17 games is now being spoken about, pay cuts are being spoken about. I mean, just think about the situation that the guys are in. And it was a bit of a shock at the time, but, you know, we moved past that pretty quickly.
So if you had your time again, would you have still asked for a 22-game season when that proposal was brought up by Gillen?
But I think we didn't ask for it. We actually said we just didn't understand why that wasn't still being considered as an option. And, you know, from where this industry is at right now and every other business in the country is exactly the same, everyone's looking at a huge hit this year. And we just thought, you know, at that time, with so much uncertainty going forward, you know, we should continue just to be considering the options ahead of us. Now, that went in a different direction than certainly it was intended, but that was the message from the playing group. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't about the playing group. It was about the industry. And, you know, I think the players' intentions through this whole thing have been about, you know, there's nothing for the players without the industry, and they've done everything they can to make sure the industry survives this. And that's what this year is going to be about for everyone, is just surviving this, and then we can pick up the pieces and start looking at how we thrive going forward.
What's your views on AFL clubs shortening lists, Paul?
Look, I think this is something that's been spoken about around the traps. It hasn't been a conversation that we've had with the AFL over the last few weeks. I know this has been spoken about in footy committee meetings, etc. You know, I've always personally had a view that the job of a players' association is not to maximise the number of contracts, it's to get the right number. But I haven't seen anything at this point in time that would suggest that the number we have at the moment is the wrong number. So, you know, I think it's really important that we have enough players so that we can withstand injuries and we can, you know, actually put the best football out in the park, because that's what the fans are going to want. Mm. So, you know, there's a lot of talk that this might be coming. It hasn't been a direct conversation that the AFL has had with us. We'll definitely have it. We'll keep an open mind to it. But there'd need to be a really strong case put forward as to how this is going to be better for the game going forward.
What about limiting time so players could potentially, if you wanted to call it semi-professional, it's really just a term about time at the club, where clubs could maybe restrict payments to a large group of the playing group. Certainly the stars are probably going to end up being paid like the stars, but we have a reset back to maybe a sort of borderline semi-professional requirement, which would enable players maybe to address mental health issues a lot better than we are at the present time.
Yeah, look, I'm a big believer in progress, and I think, you know, this industry has continued to progress. Going to a semi-professional type environment, I'm not sure I would see that as progress, to be honest with you. Look, it's not something that we've discussed either within the Players Association, with the players, or with the AFL. I think, you know, the game is, you know, until 2 weeks ago, is in an incredibly good place. Our players are incredibly professional and the football quality is high. So I'm not sure that there's any case for that at the moment, Jared, but it's not something we've really discussed.
Paul, I think we've got Essendon champion Matthew Lloyd, who wants to ask you a couple of things.
Hey, Paul. I just wanted to ask you, obviously, it's been common knowledge about the freeze on current contracts or guys looking to be contracted for next year. How long will that go for, do you think? And how can they do their deals in a sense when we're not sure what the salary cap may be next year?
G'day, Matthew. Yeah, look, I mean, there's lots of questions like that at the moment that we're still working through. I think, as you'd appreciate, the last 2 weeks has been about whether we play, firstly, and then last week was trying to resolve the issues around the player salaries. I think we've probably got a list of, you know, 20 of those types of questions that we need to work through with the AFL. So, I mean, clearly we need to get to a point in a timely manner for players to be out of contract. I think we need to get a bit more certainty around what next year looks like. So that's something we'll keep working through, and it's difficult in the current environment when we don't know what the rest of this season looks like.
So in regards to the soft cap dropping from off-field spend 9.7 to 6.7, will that be another strong negotiation between yourself and Gillon McLaughlin, you think, in time about what the salary cap for players will be moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I expect we do have a CBA in place until 2022. I think there's an acknowledgement that we need to work out what this coronavirus and the impact of it's going to have on the industry, and then sit down and have a look at next year and beyond. I think that's something that's coming. And just to the previous point, it's so hard to do this when there's so much uncertainty. So, you know, we don't know what the rest of this year looks like, let alone the next couple of years. And I think, like we did this week, we just need to sit down and work through this in a reasonable way. You know, there's so many unknowns, as I keep saying. So I know everyone wants answers to these questions, but it's challenging to give them to you when we don't have them at the moment.
Paul, appreciate your time. It's obviously been a very stressful period for everyone, but no doubt yourself in intense negotiations. Hopefully you can have a little bit of a break over the next few days. Appreciate it.
Thanks, gentlemen. See ya.
Paul Marsh there, the CEO of the AFL Players Association. That was for Australian Made. Apply online to certify your products as Australian. Australianmade.com.au/apply. On the other side of this, Matthew Lloyd is going to join us, and also your calls. Gary, Rowan, David, you're first, and Lloydie, it's all on Sports Day.
Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Kia, and Kia has Australia's best seven-year factory warranty. Lloydie's also with us for Macca's grass-fed beef burger. Naturally delicious, Lloydie. Plenty of people on the line. Gary's first. Welcome to you, Gary.
Thanks, Jared. Pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for it's a great show. I just wanted to make comment initially when Paul was on and he mentioned that it had taken 5 days of hard work to come to some agreement. I appreciate it would be a tough job for them to do that, but from a perspective of a person who loses their job and has no notice whatsoever, tomorrow don't come, you haven't got a job, you haven't got an income. And I've got mates, I've got one mate that's got quite a number of businesses who overnight is told, shut your businesses, you have no income. From a perspective of a member of a club, a paid up member of a club, I'm not asking for my membership money back, but it's not being offered either. And I just feel that the players have come across really badly in this whole thing.
Gary, I think the players have certainly had their reputations knocked around. I don't think I think they would agree with that. I've spoken to a couple of players this week and over the weekend, and I think they also think that from a PR perspective, it could have been handled better. And this is, I guess, where I was going in the questioning with Paul Marsh about this callback or non-callback position, where I think most people listening to this program assumed that the players would rise and fall. And I think ultimately, knowing that they had a much stronger position than what was publicly known, that they've actually conceded a fair bit, particularly if they don't give, if there's no games being played, it's 70% of their wage goes, which is a lot better than not having a job at all, Gary. I understand your position entirely. To Dingley, Rowan, you're next.
G'day, boys. I'll make this as quick as I can. Getting through to you guys is harder than the cat's head. Fair dinkum.
Sorry, Rowan.
It's the famous number 18. Is he listening in the background?
Lloydie would be there, Lloydie.
Hey, Rowan.
You there, Lloydie?
Yeah, I am, Rowan.
Hello.
Oh, maybe Lloydie can't get through to Rowan, ask your question and we'll get Lloydie to answer it. No, I think we've lost Rowan there. We'll try to get Rowan back up, Jared.
Well, from what we're told, he reckons he can kill two birds with one stone while we're in lockdown, and he's going to come back, hopefully. We'll find out exactly what he's doing. One is mowing the lawns, picking the grass while having set shots. Ah, very good. That's not nice. A bad idea. Lloydie, have you got lawn problems down at Brighton? And do you need to just get out and practice your goal kicking?
I can trump in. I've got the fake grass at home, Jared, so there's no grass I can pull out at home.
That's disappointing. I thought Lloydie would have grass to throw up.
I've got real grass at the front, but fake. So any weather conditions for the kids in the backyard, Sam, it's wet, they can still get out there and have a good game of footy.
Is that so you don't have to actually mow the lawns, Lloydie, or is it you're actually
Yeah, I'm a bit lazy in that regard, Jared.
Okay, well, people say that's a general comment, but nevertheless, to Geelong, David, fire away.
Thanks, Jared. Look, my suggestion is with the fixture, we have 18 teams.
Yep.
How about doing two conferences of 9? Everyone plays each other once, so that's eight rounds. At the end of that, the top 4 in each conference play a final series, and then the winner of each conference plays off in the grand final. That way we can finish the season well and surely by the end of September.
Look, David, I don't mind any of these ideas, and I think it's, you know, at this stage, the best idea is 17 games and we get it all done by September or late October. That's no question. That's plan A. But the more we get short in time and we're not at that position yet, then I think there's going to be a host of ideas and good ones like the one you just presented that we need to, I guess, sift our way through. Scoop, you got another one?
Don't go anywhere after the break. I'll give it to you after the break, Jared. Lloydie has a grand final game for us. This is Sports Day. It's all thanks to Kia, match-winning deals, Australia's best 7-year warranty.
A sports news update for Tyre Power. Great deals, brands you can trust. Massey Easter sale on now at Tyre Power.
Yes, Tyre Power, in tough times, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer. It's here to help. Tyrepower.com.au is where you find all the best deals. Lloydie, before we get to your grand final match play game, tell me who's got the best or the best grouping if we divided the clubs into squads of nine. Looking at last year's ladder as they finished after the home and away, if we went into a final series, which group would you prefer to be in? Geelong, Richmond, Collingwood. Sorry, I'll start again. Geelong, Richmond, West Coast, Western Bulldogs, Hawthorn, Adelaide, Fremantle, Sydney, Melbourne, or Brisbane, Collingwood, Giants, Essendon, Port Adelaide, North Melbourne, St Kilda, Carlton, Gold Coast.
I'd say the second. I'd rather be in the second grouping if I want to get through.
I think you're probably right. Mm. I think the evens have Brisbane Lions at the top, Collingwood, Giants, Essendon. Ironically, the grand finalists came from the two different groups, so probably not as big a disadvantage either way, I suspect. Now, what's your game you got for us, Lloydie?
The game I've got is I hate the thought of a best of three grand final. I reckon it's rubbish.
Yep.
Yeah, we one day, one grand final. And the reason for that is I went to my first one in 1997 and I've tried to go to every single one since. I've only missed a couple. And I remember every moment, every big moment of every grand final because you hang on every contest. And I just feel we lose the gold of that if we went to three or the best of three. And some may say we get more of those moments, but I don't think so. I think we'd lose some of those. So my game is I'm going to throw a name at you guys and remember the big moment of them in that grand final. So 93, Dean Wallace. What did he do?
No, I'm thinking of, sorry, different years.
Who did he knock out, Sam? Against Carlton.
This is when I was two, so it's a little bit...
I can remember the incident. I'm just trying to think of the name.
Well, I'll help you. He knocked out Mil Hanna, and that's it was the first grand final as a 15-year-old. All right, I'll give you this. Mil hair off. 96 Glenn Freeborn.
I know what Glenn Freeborn did. I go surfing on a regular basis with him. Without Glenn Freeborn, there's no premiership. He was the one who kicked the first goal to get him going, didn't he?
And kicked his third, I reckon, just on half time, which was the seal. He was the best on ground half time. 09, Matthew Scarlett.
Toe poke.
We'll never forget it. The first grand final, St Kilda Collingwood in 2010, Brendan Goddard.
The Specky.
We'll never forget it. Why don't? 2012, Daniel Hanbury v Hawthorn.
Oh, yeah.
Got poleaxed.
By Roughhead, going back with a flight.
Yes, we'll never forget it.
Also, there was that one where he should have got the free kick when he had his legs taken out.
Yes, legs
taken
out.
And nearly had the ACL.
Against the Dogs, yeah.
What about this one? When Hawthorn beat Sydney in 2014, Will Langford.
Oh, the goal from the pocket along the ground?
Yes, beautiful, dribbled it. This one's been played a bit of late. 2016, Shane Biggs. No.
The smother?
Yeah, there's four. Yep, four efforts in a pocket.
About six or seven repeat efforts.
And it led up to who kicked the goal. They were 1 point up at this stage and it went out to 7 points.
The Boyd goal, was it?
Well, it had to be Pickett.
It led up to the Liam Pickett goal.
Yeah, the Liam Pickett goal. That was just about the death knell for the
seal. And last one for you, Jared. McGovern in the McGovern in 2018.
Who'd ever forget that mark?
Wanda Goey?
Great work, Lloydie. Thanks for your time.
Sports Day for Kia's open season, continuing with match-winning deals and Red Energy, a 100% Australian gas and electricity retailer.
Get on the line, folks. It's the start of the second hour of the program. Welcome along if you're joining us for the first time. Shortly, we'll let you know what happened in the first hour. But if you've been with us, then get ready for slaps and sledges. For Polaris, hard-working, smoothest riding equipment. 13 13 32 is the Harcourt's open line. 13 13 32. We'll kick it off with slaps and sledges before, Scoop, you give us a backlog on what we did in the last hour or so. But here's my sledge, and that is for the incorrect use of the word hone. I know I've been here before.
Oh,
I'm
really
going to continue to try and eradicate this over the next 3 months. So to all you people out there who are misusing it, you are on the target list. You don't ever hone in on anything. As much as you may have heard a coach say it, you do not hone in on anything. You home in, like a homing pigeon. You hone your skills. That's what the coach should be saying. Go out the back yard and hone your skills. It means to sharpen. Hone doesn't mean coming home. It means to sharpen, like having a blade, like honing a blade, or honing your handball skills. So when I see the word misused by Apple News Scoop, as I did last night, telling me that, meanwhile, the US election hones in on Hollywood, I start to scream and think to myself, my God, it's not hone in, it's home in on Hollywood. I think to myself, is it going to take the whole of the 6 month lockdown to eradicate it? Well, if it does, we are going to do it, but we need your help. If you see or hear any examples of hone abuse, send them in to us, 13 13 32. We've got to eradicate hone abuse, Scoop.
Can I give you my two most hated misused words?
Mm-hmm.
One is what everyone, I think, has this word, is literally. Literally gets used way too often.
Right. Is it misused, though?
Completely. People say, I literally had 1,000 putts today on the golf course.
Well,
no, you didn't.
Oh, you didn't.
You probably had 50.
Okay.
You didn't have literally 1,000.
An overuse. Yep.
The other one is uninterested versus disinterested. I can't begin to tell you how many people are here, in games of football particular. So, I don't know about Danaher today. He just looks disinterested. No, he looks uninterested. Disinterested is what you want a judge to be, in that they have no bias either side.
Yes.
They are a disinterested party.
I'll give you the most incorrectly used word amongst 30 and unders.
I'm excited about this. Go.
Begins with V.
Vegan?
No. Begins with V. Verse. Collingwood verse.
Yep.
Bulldogs.
You want it to be versus.
It's versus.
Yeah.
When did verse become a word?
Yeah, they've tried to use versus and turn it into a shortened verb of to verse.
Yep. I thought actually I saw another one today with MC. MC, I saw the phonetic spelling and its use today on the same website.
Oh.
I thought, that's not right. It's MC as in MC.
But as in master of ceremonies.
Evidently, MC used phonetically, it's sort of not right, but it's used. So it sort of crept in.
Wait,
under,
how is
under
it
disguise.
EMCEE?
EMCEE.
No, that's incorrect.
Well, I would have thought so, but I Googled it.
That's wrong.
And Google think it's okay, Scoop.
Wait, so if I put down EMCEE on my Scrabble board and someone challenges me, they are incorrect. And it's actually a word.
It's a word. Well, I don't think it is, but it's like a lot of words. If it's used often enough, like verse, then eventually it becomes a word. Tom Elliott would love this topic. We should have brought it up with Tom. In fact, we'll go with Tom tomorrow night when you do your cross talk.
I'm literally dumbfounded.
You are.
MC.
You are literally dumbfounded.
Is a word.
And you need to hone your vocabulary skills to come up to date with MC.
Hone in on anything.
Don't home in on your skill. Home in on MC and get it right.
Okay. Jared, let's touch base on what we heard earlier from Paul Marsh, who's the boss of the Players Association. Obviously, it's been a big few days for the PA, and a lot's been made of how long it's taken, but Paul Marsh disagrees and thinks that it's taken a reasonable amount of time.
Look, there was lots to work through, and I think, you know, from our perspective, I think you call up a point there that when we did the deal in 2017, the players got 28% of the games forecast revenues. Our whole positioning was they should also get 28% of the game's actual revenues, and we didn't get there on the club piece. But I guess what came back the other way was the players didn't have to go backwards if revenues didn't hit forecast. Now, we've obviously, because of these exceptional circumstances at the moment, we've agreed for the players to go backwards, but that didn't really come up too much last week. It was more about how are we going to work through this for players on minimum contracts, you know, guys with families. These are all the complex issues that we were just trying to work through. And, you know, I think
a player that did have payments up until the end of March. We were just we had some time to work through this, and I think 5 days, as I've said a couple of times, is very reasonable to try to work through what is a really complex set of circumstances. So I know everyone wanted it to get done quicker. If we could have got it done quicker, we would have. But in the end, I don't think it was unreasonable how long it took.
Can I say that it didn't come up because both parties probably knew it was there?
Yeah, I would agree.
So you're not going to go in there and say, you must take this, if you, in fact, you know, you can't win any local battle. And that's where, on reading that there was a no-callback agreement, the AFL went in with one hand tied behind its back.
Well, sort of.
Absolutely. The only way that the AFL could gain strength is if they were about to go completely broke. And knowing that Marvel Stadium was there, that was never going
to
happen.
Can I just comment as well, and I'm not trying to reignite a fight here, but he did say that the players were offered by the AFL to take a 79% pay cut for 7 months.
You're not fighting with me. You can take that up with Gill.
Well, I'm going to have to, because now I don't understand why he was so disappointed.
And that's the background of that is because Gill clipped you for saying so.
Yeah, and well, he said I was wrong, and I happily reported that he said that I was wrong. But now I'm confused because the PA feel like they were offered that.
You better sort
I understand
that out.
It's a sensitive topic, so we're not going to go back over old ground. But it was interesting.
We're not. We literally did.
It's not me versus Gill,
no,
Jared.
That's right.
Quickly before we get to the, in fact, we'll do the top seven for Kia. After this, Jared, our topic is your best body weight exercises.
Best body weight that you can do in the backyard whilst you are trying to maintain your health when you are unable to get out and exercise.
Yep, which is a thing that's kicking up off tonight in Victoria from midnight. Give us your thoughts, 13 13 32. It's the top seven for Kia after this.
Welcome back to Sports Day for Wilson Homes. They believe in a great design, so you love being home. The lines are open, 13, 13, 32 for Harcourts, and shortly we're going to give you the top seven exercises to do in the home or the backyard or the front yard if you've got one to keep yourself in tip-top shape between now and the close or the opening of play. Dave's in Bairnsdale first, wants to chat about the Players Association. Dave, thanks for your call.
Hello, Dave.
Struggling with Dave. He's just dropped off. Give us a call back, Dave, if you would like to get through. So for Kia, with Australia's best seven-year factory warranty, the exercises to be done whilst in lockdown. And I'll actually give you repetition
number
to...
is this your max number?
This is not my max. This is if you're going to do it three times to make it into a circuit.
Right. Okay.
Push-ups.
Yep.
50, then two lots of 30.
Gee.
Sit-ups.
Heavy.
50, 35, 20.
Okay.
Three lots.
Yep.
Step-ups. Three lots of 20, both legs. Burpees, most dreadful exercise ever invented.
Agreed.
Three lots of 20.
Gee.
Squats, well, 320s, 325s, just build that one up. Planks.
Yeah, it's an interesting one here.
If you are starting out, sort of just work to your maximum and just keep working to your maximum, but try and get up to 1 of 2 minutes, 1 of 90 seconds, and 1 of 60 seconds. But just three lots of 45 seconds to start off with, and you actually improve really rapidly
in all of those three lots of 30 exercises.
So there it is, the top seven: push-ups, sit-ups, step-ups, burpees, squats, planks.
And what's seven? That's six?
Lunges.
Hate lunges.
I don't mind lunges.
Nah, they're my worst.
You hate them?
Well, I just hate doing them more than anything.
Right.
I'd rather take squats or burpees than lunges.
No, I wouldn't do that. Burpees are a disgraceful exercise.
I've come to like burpees.
Have you?
Yep.
Well,
taken me 3 years.
You've got plenty of time to practice them. other notable mentions, shoot-throughs.
I have no idea what that is.
And mountain climbers.
Joel, our producer, wrote down shoot-throughs. What's a shoot-through? Like, he's not, he can't
talk
to us.
He's just laughing.
What, do you know what a shoot-through is?
Never heard of a shoot-through.
Never. No. And you're a physio, so have you ever heard of one?
No, I did phys ed too. Never heard of a shoot-through. I'll
talk back to him in the talk back, so you keep talking.
Yes, you find out what a shoot-through is. So push-ups, sit-ups, step-ups, burpees, squats, planks, lunges. Says Jared finds out what a shoot-through is from Scragger Brooksy, our number one Bulldog. Okay. Let's hear from...
You're on all fours.
Okay.
And then you kick out the one side.
Yeah.
And then you kick out to the other side. I'll get Brooksy to do a demo and we'll bring it to you in more detail tomorrow night.
With your hands, though? So opposite hand out leg. To opposite leg?
Look out. No, Brooksy's going down on the floor here.
Yep.
No, he's not.
No. Okay. While he's doing that, let's hear from Tony Cochran, who he was on our show last night. This was picked up all across the weekend. Gave a nice clip for Ross Lyon.
Well, one thing you learn up here is you learn the effort of defence. I mean, I can't believe how often I have to step forward and Mark has to step forward and defend our young club. It's just borderline ridiculous, to be honest, and incredibly frustrating because, you know, the only real problem that we've got up here, and everybody's got the current problem, every single person in the world's got the current problem, but the real ongoing problem we've got here is one of success. We've built 28 new ovals in the last 5 years in the Gold Coast region and Northern Rivers, and it's not enough. Mm. We've got junior talent and junior football in both girls and boys absolutely exploding from one end of Queensland to the other. And that's all because the AFL Commission have done 10 years of hard slog using the media rights fee money to get us into this position. And why anybody would even consider chopping that growth off now just proves that perhaps not only are they a failed coach, but they don't know much about economics either.
Yeah, he was pretty fired up, was Tony Cochran. It was great that he came on the program. Not sure you could classify Ross Lyon as a failed coach, Jared.
Well,
but
I'm sure you can't.
Yes.
But I agree with everything that Tony said.
Bar that
element of his sledge to Ross Lyon.
So 13-13-32, if you want to get on the Harcourt open line, which is open now, we're doing a top seven for Kia, Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. Exercises while in lockdown, Jared. Now, Brooksy has shown us what a shoot-through is. I have done them once.
Shocking exercise. So you were on all fours.
Horrible.
And you actually, your right leg goes through to the left side.
As you rotate.
And then your left leg goes through to the right side as you rotate. It goes through and forward. So it's a pretty nasty exercise from
It's sort of hips, hip flexors, legs, and core.
Yeah. I think the other one that is missing from our group is dips. So all you need to do, you can do it in the yard, but if you've got a step.
You can do it on the back of the couch, really.
Back of the couch.
Yep.
Fairly simple exercise. What's your... routine at the present time, now that you haven't got the gym to go and build the beach muscle scoop?
I've been running 3 times a week. I used to like running only once a week. Now I don't have any, and I've got no weights at home either. Mm. And you can't buy them, Jared. Like, if you go anywhere online, they're all sold out at a free weights.
Serious.
Actually quite remarkable. So if anyone knows where to get your free weights.
Everybody's obviously, I'll tell you one place to get them.
Mm.
Off eBay.
No, I know. I've looked on eBay.
You've looked on eBay.
They're all gone, Jared.
Weights are gone everywhere.
I tell you the other thing that's gone. This is not about
weights. Well, that'll be our top seven next time. The things that have disappeared outside of toilet paper due to the coronavirus.
Found my first toilet paper roll today.
Good.
In about 4 weeks. You know, everyone wants a dog at this time.
Don't blame them.
No, I understand them. You know, they want the camaraderie. Mm. But, like, if you go online, if you went online 6 weeks ago and wanted to adopt a dog, you'd probably have... In the state of Victoria, or say any state, 150 options.
Right.
Across the RSPCA. Go on the RSPCA right now and type in dogs across Victoria. You'll have less than five. Less than five.
Five dogs
five.
Only.
It's unbelievable.
That's unheard of. Gee, I'm glad Inca's still around because we've been a dog house for a long time.
Hmm.
And Inca is such a part of the family. It would be incredible to think back on the last 12 years without her.
Well, so this is the first time in my life I've gone a certain period without a dog, and it's killing me.
Mm.
And I want a dog, and I can't find one.
And it's also a good excuse to get out of the house.
Yeah.
Go for a dog walk.
Yeah, what are you doing? I've got to take the dog for a walk. Mm. Just get out. Get some fresh air. Stay 1.5 metres away.
It's quite a mixed message about beaches at this stage. I've got to get some clarification. I mean, you are allowed to go out to walk and have an exercise. And yet I saw that a lady and her daughter were apprehended, not probably too strong a word, but certainly had a long chat to by the police.
Well, because some are closed. So that's different to what that's separate to some of the current social distancing laws, aren't they? Like if a beach is closed, it's closed. You can't go.
Beach is closed, you're not allowed to walk on it. So if a beach is closed, you're not allowed to fish on it, like I saw two fishermen last night?
I would think that that would be classified as illegal. You know, some people are still confused about what the current laws are. Like, you and I right now can go for a run.
Yeah, of course.
As long as we keep our distance.
Do you think that
But you, me and Brooksy couldn't go for a run.
No, well, that's pretty obvious. I mean, it's two people only.
Two people only.
Unless you're in a family.
Unless Joel and I live together and you were joining us, in which case we could be a three.
Right. No, I think it's...
That's right.
Is it families or is it people living under the one roof?
No, it's people living under one roof.
Okay.
So the people next door to us are in a share house of four.
Yeah.
So they could all go for a run together.
Right.
And I could join them because I'm the add-on.
You're the add-on. Well, you don't want to be an add-on for too long.
No.
I did notice there's a photo in your paper, Sam, of the two police, one a police woman and one a police man.
Is it on the beach?
Patrolling the beach. About to engage in an apprehension.
And it's fair to say they were in each other's pocket.
They were
so close.
3 centimetres apart.
Literally.
Literally. Not metaphorically, not anything else, just absolute. They were very, very close. So they weren't practising social isolation.
One of the ironic things about this entire situation is that because gyms are closed across the country, more people are out exercising.
That's probably true.
So there is a greater
I think more people are exercising simply because they're at home for long periods of time.
Okay, yeah, well, I mean, they go together, don't they? Hmm. People at home, gyms are closed, therefore people are going out to exercise. So ironically, there's never been fewer space in the public sphere of people. Like if you go to the Tan at the moment or if you go to
Princess Park, packed.
Right. I mean, what are some of the other, what's down your way that it's popular, beaches are popular to run on?
The beaches were packed and now they're relatively empty. Still plenty of people swimming, which I'm told is you're able to do.
Mm.
I'm not sure how you get across the beach. You have to jump. But there's still plenty of people sort of not swimming as in having a dip, but swimming, proper swimming.
I was going to mention earlier in the show at Track Watches, but I thought it was a bit cheeky, but I might as well do it now. I'm not going to mention the club, but on the weekend, as I was walking around in my travels, keeping to myself, I did notice one particular club, Jared. There was probably about 15 of them. Well, I might get in trouble for saying this. It might have been less than 15.
Yes.
But there was a group of players who were together, but they were separated into small groups of two and three who were doing the right thing. They were 2 or 3 metres apart from each other. But, you know, one group was stretching. One group was practising shots at goal. One group was talking tactics. Another group were doing runs. But it did dawn on me. I wonder how many of the 18 clubs, plus all different other sports, are still trying to get in the one sort of big space with each other. I think more of just a mental thing, do you think, Jared, when you spend so much time in pre-season with your teammates? Is it hard to just suddenly say, oh, I'll see you in 4 weeks?
Well, no.
No, but, I mean, mentally it must be helpful that they can say, right, oh, there's Jimmy over there. He's a couple of 100 metres away, but he's doing his thing and I'm stretching and I'm lifting a couple of weights.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's the case. But, when I finished a footy season, I was more than happy to lead a different life.
But this isn't finishing a footy season.
No. I understand exactly what it is, but I would have thought the social distancing precluded people from that.
But they were still a distance apart. Now those players wouldn't be able to do that as of midnight tonight.
No.
Because
it's a congregation.
It's a congregation. Police would come by and say, now the players could say, well, how do you know we're part of the same group? The police say, well, because I saw you play 2 weeks ago and you're all wearing the same colours.
Has anybody actually been fined yet?
I know.
For breaking the rules?
People have been fined for not quarantining.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough.
Yep.
But have they been fined for just walking down the street being close? I think I saw somewhere that one poor person had, and really it's just a reminder. But, gee, I tell you what, if you got hit by a savage fine for – because I walked the beach last night. There was the Brighton Beach at the moment is completely empty of tourists.
Is it usually packed at this time of the year?
Usually packed. Yep. I mean, in the last 10 years, those beach boxes have gone from, you know, a quaint interest for some
to now a tourist attraction.
To must see. Yep. I mean, they borderline the penguins. So that beach is chock full. And last night, I mean, it has been empty since the coronavirus hit China, really.
Yep.
Comparatively. But last night, there was a couple of girls who clearly were tourists. And they were taking a selfie 10 centimetres apart.
Mm.
So it's not 100% getting through the message.
Well, of course not. I mean, we'll drive home tonight, Jared, and we'll see people flouting the rules. But, I mean, the message from the government is to try to get the bulk of Australians to do the right thing, yep. Which I think it sounds like, and the numbers look like, we are doing. I mean, I keep hearing people say, well, we don't know what the numbers are because we don't know how many tests they're doing. But they announce the number of tests every day.
Mm.
So we do know. I mean, the tests are staying rather consistent, the actual numbers.
Right. You're following it a bit closer than I. All I know is we're doubling every 3.5 days where we were doubling every two. No, it's the other way around. We're doubling now every 5 days
as
where we were doubling every 3.5.
So. That's right. So the exponential rate in which we're rising,
yeah.
The acceleration is decreasing.
Well, that's good news. And whilst you're using that word, acceleration, I suspect that's what's wrong with your putting, Scoop.
You think I'm decelerating
as you strike the ball.
Hence leaving my putt short.
So let me just say this to you as a cure.
Mm.
Take a very short backswing, like only 3 inches, and follow through. Take a 3-inch backswing. It will fix up your deceleration problem.
Danny Wilder is as good a putter as he is a newsbreaker. The NRL man joins us next.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Well, as big a story as it is for the AFL, it's probably just a tinge bigger for the NRL because they haven't got the lifeline, the security of a $1 billion in this market stadium, potentially a $2 billion in a more productive financial market, which Marvel Stadium has always been, that little war chest that is there for a rainy day, and it's pouring out there at the moment, Scoop.
No, you're right, Jared. The NRL don't have that. Well, one thing they do have is the number one newsman when it comes to all breaking news north of the Victorian border. He breaks news on this side of the border as well. His name is Danny Wilder from Channel 9, and he joins us. He broke the story over the weekend that Todd Greenberg, the NRL CEO, is taking leave without pay throughout the crisis. Danny, as we welcome you, what is leave without pay?
Yeah, well, I reckon Todd's going to have to keep working whether he likes it or not. That might be his view on things, leave without pay. But I can't see how he's not going to get phone calls and people are going to say, we need you to do this, we need you to do that. He might have to work without pay. So it's a really precarious situation in Sydney and throughout, I guess, all the rugby league clubs. As you mentioned, there's no war chest. Instead, the NRL's really been exposed as being a pretty weak financial organisation, unfortunately, where the spending has really got to be questioned on every level. And I'm telling you now, there's going to be massive cuts out of the NRL, unfortunately, for the people who work there and throughout the game.
It is a very strange description of what you're doing, given that, I mean, Todd Greenberg's evidently done a pretty good job through this crisis, but it's beneath the shadow of whether or not he's going to maintain his job. He's fallen out with various clubs. He's fallen out with various members of the commission, we're told, or I've read. And Peter Vlandis is almost acting like an executive chairman. So is this sort of a telltale sign that maybe Todd has had his last days at the game, in the game?
Look, before all of this terrible situation started in Australia, Todd Greenberg was just hanging on. There was going to be a meeting a couple of days after this all broke out where his future was very much on the line. And look, he's a very slick operator, Todd Greenberg, but he's fallen out of favour with a number of the people in the game who make decisions. The clubs, and even though he's been a strong performer in this crisis, he's presented well and done a lot of good things, behind the scenes. I don't think it's going to save his position. I'd be surprised if it did.
What about the missing millions? Is that going to haunt him?
Look, it's an interesting story, that one. You're referring to the retirement fund for the players. And yes, the money isn't there at the moment, but the NRL argue that it only has to be there at the end of the television deal cycle. And that's their excuse. They're saying, we use the money elsewhere. That's true. But it was going to be there once the cycle ended. They didn't predict this predicament. So I think that won't be the major thing in any way which brings Todd Greenberg down. I think it's a number of other things.
Danny, we've been talking a lot tonight about how AFL clubs have come together to try to save each other and stick with 18 teams in a comp. How likely do you think it'll be that the NRL will have the same amount of teams in the competition next year?
Well, that's Pete. I just came from an interview with Peter Volandis, and it's very much his intention for all the clubs to survive. We've got leagues clubs here who are shut down, who have had to lay people off, and a lot of the football clubs are dependent on them. Penrith, for instance, are predicting, depending on who you talk to, a $23 to $40 million black hole as a result of everything that's gone on. Now, look, they've got assets, obviously, because they've got the league club, but they've also got debts to buy those clubs. So, you know, you have to think that clubs like that may be in some kind of trouble. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's too dependent on their league club, and you know, we're talking millions and millions of dollars, and people are out of work, and it's horrific. You know, it's horrific. It's really gutted the entire game. They're talking about massive cuts at the NRL as well to staff. I mean, it's been talked about, like 50% of people may even, you know, not be there. Who knows? Mm-hmm. You know, people are speculating about all sorts of things, but it's going to be massive. Savage cuts was a terminology used by Peter Volandis to the NRL. So he'll try and save people, but the costs will go down a lot under his guidance.
Tough time for all. Danny, we love your breaking news. I'm sure you continue to do so. Appreciate your time.
Hey, really, thanks. Thanks for having me on. And anytime you want me, I'm around.
So. We'll take you up on that offer. Danny Wilder there from Channel 9 News. And the power play of the week, quickly, Jared, for Polarise. Well, hardest working, smoothest riding.
Had to go to Gillon McLachlan for unveiling the loan that locked in the future of the game. Polaris, of course, is Australia's number one off-road vehicle brand for the fourth year running.
Wow, fourth year running. This is Sports Day. Sean Callanan after this.
Well, this is Sports Day for Wilson Homes. Chat with one of their friendly staff today about personalising a home design to suit your individual lifestyle, Scoop.
Our next guest, Jared, is someone I'm very intrigued to interview because a lot of our chat in the last couple of weeks, and for good reason, has been about, you know, the doomsday scenarios. How are clubs going to survive?
Yep, yep.
How are people going to survive from losing jobs? But our next guest, who runs his own podcast, has been concentrating a lot on what are things going to look like in the future? How are clubs going to continue to make money? Well, we do have, of course, we've got a future.
Good.
Well, someone has a future. His name is Sean Callanan. He's the head of Sports Geek, the podcast, and also the founder of SportsGeekHQ.com. And he joins us on the line. Sean, welcome.
Thanks, guys.
Sean, can you guarantee us that we've got a future? Because I'm starting to feel a bit flat.
No, I do think we've definitely got a future. I think the fans will return to the stands. I think everyone will be absolutely ready to be heading back to the MCG, to Marvel, to stadiums around the world. So, the world may be different when we get there.
Well, you recently did a podcast and our producer had a listen. He said, you've got to speak to this guy because he'll give you the way forward. He'll give us the map on how sport will bounce back from COVID-19, which was the subject of your recent podcast.
Yeah, Jared, I mean, we've been working with sports teams for 10, 11 years now when little networks like Facebook and Twitter and that started and helped the teams better connect with the fans and get them into the stands. And so we've now seen this explosion of creation of digital media and ways for them to connect and engage with fans. And so now it's about doubling down on that. They've built these great platforms and these great databases and fan bases, these digital cheer squads, if you will. Now it's how can they better connect with them and how they can help their partners better connect with them. So, I mean, at the moment, you know, the real issue is we don't have any content to deliver to partners. That's how our sports have monetized these audiences.
Yep.
And so there's going to be a lot of innovation to make that work for this year. And then when sports does come back, whether it's July, August, September, or whatever, then we're actually going to have to really snap into action to do a lot of content and a lot of different initiatives to support the sponsorship contracts that we've that the teams and leagues have already got. And the good thing about digital, I mean, I love the MCG, but there's only so many signs that can go around the MCG, even if it is digital. We can do it. We can do multiple digital campaigns, and the appetite from fans hasn't gone away, and it hasn't gone down before COVID, and it's only going to be accelerated after it. So I think there'll be more focus now on the fans that aren't in the stands. How can we better engage them, and how can we can help our, you know, our partners engage them, but as well also bring those fans back to the stands.
So Sean, the ones that aren't in the stands, give us some of the ways we can help engage them, because I think what you said is right. Once footy does return, and we don't know when that will be, the appetite will be there. I don't think we're going to have any trouble in the first few weeks back filling out our stadiums.
No. And I think everyone's sort of really now realised, you know, the value of sports, and I think TV broadcasters will be really happy that sports is back on, you know, back on air, because, you know, that keeps and drives everything to their business. So it's a bit of a reset in that space. But the opportunity has always been, you know, the 99% of fans that aren't in the stands. And so now everyone's really looking at that harder. And so we might start seeing ways to better engage the fan that is sitting on the couch and how they can support the club and be part of the club and what that might look like. And technology will play a part, but then also what the teams do from a content point of view will also play a part.
Do you see with the digitalisation of the sport and the connection with the supporters of each particular club in each particular code, do you see that that can end up being a money-making scheme outside of just as another platform for advertising?
I think so. I think one of the things I think that will come into play, like, you know, say the broadcast deals and the like that are going to come up next, archive content and access to archive content might be something that becomes more valuable to the leagues and the teams. Like, I think we'll see definitely a renaissance of watching back classic games. That's what's going to happen. We're seeing it on, you know, Fox Footy. We're seeing Channel 7 play old games. If you were to ask someone to watch a replay 3 weeks ago, they would have looked at you like you're crazy. Whereas now there is actually that kind of, there is an appetite for that kind of content, and that's where we might see teams and leagues say, well, we want to keep some of that content and be able to dial up a classic game at any point, you know, on the AFL app or, you know, via Cricket Australia app and be able to bring up any game you like. I think that's where we'll start seeing, I guess, the media deals and the way that it gets done a little bit differently, and that's a way to deliver to those fans in their lounge rooms.
Is there any chance you think in some time down the track we're going to be able to, through, I guess, digitalising or digitalisation of history, we could actually manipulate the old results? Is there any way that 3-point loss to WA in the 1986 State of Origin game that continually haunts me, we could just sort of get in there and manipulate the DNA like we do in cells and perhaps change that result? Because I've seen that result 35 times, and I can never quite get over it.
I think that's probably something Eddie McGuire would like to do and move that boundary line when Wayne Harms hits back in.
That ball was clearly in.
As a Collingwood man, it was definitely out. I think there are definitely opportunities in that space. But I think now it is the time to start figuring out how we better communicate with those fans. And even things like the 1 week spike of interest in the AFL in the US market, how do we develop a product that fits for the US market so they can consume it?
Well, that was a big opportunity that opened up, and it was one of the real tragedies that we closed the game down as quickly as we did, because we had this free hit, and we've never had a free hit before. And gee, it was you know, I thought we'd get 3 or 4 weeks in. And then all of a sudden, states started closing boundaries, et cetera, or borders, and it shut down after the one round. But gee, if we had had enough time for the bush jungle, if they have such a thing in America, to alert millions of people that there was this game on, it would have been quite fascinating.
But I think that's where I think digital can offer that. I think that will still be an option. You know, down the track when footy returns and even when the NFL and the NBA is back in action, 10 million, we can get 10 million fans in the US, that's more fans than are in that are watching AFL in Australia. And so, like, it's just a matter of what does that product look like? How do we develop that product? How do we develop an appetite for that product? Whether it's through players like Mason Cox or, you know, Pat McAfee talking about it on his radio show. I'm sure Hutchie's trying to work a way to get radio rights over to the US right now.
We're speaking to Sean Callanan, who is the founder of SportsGeekHQ.com and also the host of the Sports Geek podcast. Hey, Sean, I know in your podcast you delve into the business of sport a lot. What are the TV rights going to look like now from 2022 onwards? I mean, there's sort of terrible timing for the AFL, given Amazon were just beginning to dip their toes in the water.
Yeah, I think, I think it is a bit of a different landscape, but I also think, I think most sports have been at this Mexican standoff with broadcasters sort of saying, you need us, no, we need you. And I think they'll be a little bit closer together now where they both realise that they do need each other. I think from a TV broadcaster point of view, they realise what their landscape looks like without sport. So I think it actually probably will stabilise the money that maybe the broadcasters put forward. But I also think new and different deals will come out of it. It won't be just a straightforward deal that we might have had in the past. I think we'll see more products being broken up, whether it's between multiple broadcasters or around different games, different nights. I think there'll be a lot more creativity coming out of it, really, because to protect all partners, it's not someone has to win. You really have to make sure that everyone wins, and the broadcasters themselves. You know, they've got to make their money to win, and then you've also got a whole industry of advertisers. They've got to figure out how they are going to advertise. You know, coming out of this crisis.
Sean, we appreciate your time. We're loving the podcast, and look forward to having you on again soon.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Sean Callanan, there, host of the Sports Geek podcast. Yeah, some interesting stuff there, Jared. I'm most fascinated about the money in the game, in as far as TV rights, what that's going to look like from 2022. A lot of the...
I think you're actually not giving due relevance to how long away 2022 is.
That's true. It's not.
It's
right.
A long, long way away.
Because right now, us playing footy again is a long, long way away.
That's right. We've got a long, long autumn and a long winter to get through.
No, you're right. I'm not.
But that's 2020. Then there's all of 2021, and then hopefully, whilst I'm sure there's still economic fallout from it, by 2022, you know, hopefully things are tracking back to where people can see the future. I mean, right now we've got the stock market who thinks they can see the future, and they're buying as if nothing's really changed.
And that story you and I spoke about earlier about, you know, the working groups that the CEOs have put together, this is why one of the legs, you know, the financial working group is so important, because these will be some of the discussions they're having.
It wouldn't be surprised if, you know, down the track in the next 6 to 12 months, there was just an extension. I mean, it may well have to favour the broadcasters this time around.
Well, Caro's talked about that, hasn't she?
But an extension just for 2 years to allow the game to get back to breathe. Some element of strength in the longer-term negotiations that will follow. And I think by then also, new technologies will drag other people into the debate.
This is Sports Day for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Jared, that's it for you and I tonight.
Good work, Scoop. It's been a pleasure.
It has. We'll see you tomorrow on Sports Day, 6 o'clock.